Welcome back. I'm Gary Parr.
I'm Jennifer Kopasz-Rose.
You're listening to the midweek version of Fiber Talk, the twice weekly podcast for needlework artists.
Yay.
We have things coming up.
Lots of things, exciting things.
Yes. Tonight, we have the Stitch Hour at 8 o'clock Eastern Time. And this one's going to be a different one. Because Beth ordered a casket kit from Trish and Wynn, Thistle Threads, and it's all arrived.
Oh.
Yes. And so, and she has bit the bullet and not opened the packages.
Oh.
Two boxes, and she's not opened them. So we're going to open them tonight on the show.
Oh, fun. Oh, my goodness.
Yep. So that's going to be fun. So we'll get to see what's in the kit and get to see the box in its raw form. And Patty Tronrod, I think I said that, Tronrod, I think it is, just finished a casket that is absolutely gorgeous. And she's sending us photos, and she'll be in the audience. So we can ask her questions. So it's going to be a all casket night tonight.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
That's going to be neat.
I think so. Just opening that thing up and seeing what all comes in the kit. Because, I mean, two boxes. Two boxes.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Wow, that's going to be cool.
And Beth said, should I open it? I said, sure, go ahead and open it. No, she says, I'm going to wait. I'll wait. And
oh, my gosh. The willpower.
I know.
Oh, man. Yep. I don't know if I could do that.
Something like that, I'd have to open it, I'm afraid I will.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right away.
Yep. So that's tonight. So join us tonight for that. 8 o'clock Eastern, YouTube, a regular Stitch Hour. We get to see Beth open up the boxes that contain her casket kit. And then, of course, we'll talk about what she's going to do with it. Because she's not just going to create the, just not going to just stitch the design the way it is. You know, she's going to do her own thing. So
right.
We'll talk about that and then look at what Patty did. Hers is a working box for her son, who does Dungeons and Dragons, and leads a group at school. He's a teacher, if I recall correctly, and leads a group at school. So he's actually going to use the box for his whatevers that go with Dungeons and Dragons. I've never played it. I have no
cool.
idea. So
I read the books.
Oh, did you? Okay.
Yeah, they're really good. The core series. But
okay.
Dragons of Autumn Twilight.
Oh, all those.
Margaret
okay.
Weiss and Tracy Hickman. Oh, yeah.
Well, look at you. See, that's not my cup of tea.
I'm a hardcore sci-fi fantasy girl.
Okay.
Have been since about fifth grade. So.
Oh, you know the deal. Well, yeah. Well, Patty did a stump work dragon on top. And
nice.
It is gorgeous. So we'll get to see that, and she'll be in the audience so she can answer questions. So it'll be a casket night tonight.
Cool.
Yeah, we'll have some fun with that. I think so.
Yeah, because you can put all the dice and all the little things. You probably might have some little figurines and stuff. And
oh, is that what it is? I don't know.
Yeah, because I know that some companies make little like figurines and stuff, and like I knew someone once who got the little figurines in like pewter and then would paint them.
Oh my.
Oh yeah. And they were tiny, like two inches maybe tall. Had, you know, oh yeah.
Oh,
I never played the game. I never played it. Cause you know, back in the 80s and 90s when I was growing up, Dungeons and Dragons, something happened. Some kid, something, I don't remember what, but it got a bad rap because I think some kids who were playing it, something happened.
Hmm.
And I don't remember what, but I just know it was like, oh, you know.
Hmm. I just know it was really a big thing at one time. And
mm-hmm. It still is.
Is it? Well, obviously it is if there's a school group and you're having your mom make a casket for you for your stuff. There's there's something going on there. But, yeah, I just never – was just never something that appealed to me, so I never looked into it. But pretty neat. So that's what we'll see tonight. That's going to be fun.
Nice.
Yeah. Yep. Looking forward to that. Yeah. I'm looking forward to just seeing all the things that come with Beth's kit.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. So, yep, that'll be a good time. So 8 o'clock, 8 o'clock on the YouTube channel. Join us for that. And then awesome. Christmas Day, Jennifer and I are going to do another boredom breaker, Christmas boredom breaker.
Yeah, that was fun.
Yeah, we had a great time, I think. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Just hanging out, stitching, talking to whoever wants to type in stuff.
Yep.
It was a good time.
So if you're alone or tired of talking to your husband or partner on Christmas Day,
escape the family if you have a small family group.
Yeah, yeah.
Go hide in the back room.
Yeah, that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm out. Yep. So yep. 2 o'clock Eastern time. Just bring your stitching. We're just gonna be stitching and just talking. Yep.
Yeah, just hanging out.
We'll kill off an hour and a half or so, and
yeah, it went by so fast.
I know. I couldn't believe that.
I know. It's like, what? It's done? I guess we could go. I don't know. Got nothing else to do.
Yeah, that was the thing. Because I thought, when we started, I thought, all right, well, we'll tough it out for an hour. We'll see how it goes. And then the next thing you know, we're pushing an hour and a half. And
mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think like 50 people were there live that we saw.
Yeah, yeah.
Or that, showed up on the counter.
Right. So join us Christmas afternoon. Yep. We got nothing going on. Jennifer and I are just killing off the day, so.
Yeah, I mean, my hubby will do the cooking, so.
Yep.
I think he's going to make a London broil.
Ooh.
He's done that before. It's good.
Mm.
And then you can, like, take the leftovers of the meat and just eat it for other stuff the rest of the week, you know?
Uh-huh. Yep. Yep.
Oh, yeah. It's fantastic.
Oh, that sounds good. We're having the standard turkey dinner, so.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we had...
too big for just the two of us.
Yeah, she just gets a breast, and she doesn't do a whole turkey. But
yeah, we started doing like a roll-odd, where you can buy turkey, the breast sliced thin at the store. It comes in a packet, and then you lay it out and pound it together, and then you layer like the stuffing in there, and then you roll it up like a jelly roll. And cook it and slice it. It's really good.
Oh, that sounds good. Yeah.
Yeah. Huh.
Oh, that's different. So, it's called a roll-odd?
Yeah, roll-odd. R-O-L-A-D-E. Turkey roll-odd. Huh.
That sounds good.
Yeah, you could probably find recipes online.
Yeah, I'm sure.
We just take whatever stuffing we like and he pounds it out and wraps it. Does he wrap it in bacon?
Oh, why not?
I don't know. Well, I know he has before, but...
Why not?
Exactly, right?
Yeah.
Everything's better with bacon on it. Right. Vitamin B.
That's right. So, yeah. So, anyway, yeah. So, basically, Jennifer and I got nothing going on Christmas Day, so...
No.
Other than eating.
Yeah. And this will actually give us some sort of a schedule for the day.
Yeah.
Floating through it, you know?
Yep. So, 2 o'clock. Christmas Day, 2 o'clock in the afternoon, Eastern time. Adjust for your time zone and join us. We'll have fun.
Yeah.
Bring your stitching, a beverage, kill off a little time. Yep. Mm-hmm. Also coming up, now this one, January 1 will be the live show kickoff on YouTube at 2 o'clock, the usual 2 o'clock time. We'll start our Rosewood Manor Spring Hill stitch along.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm excited for that.
Yeah, I am too. I've been studying the chart, and I got to say, I'm getting pumped up for this one. Sponsored by Needle in a Haystack. So Kathy Ray, Needle in a Haystack, is sponsoring this, and she has put it all together. So there are four kits. Four kits are available. You can do your own thing, but there are four kits available that Kathy has put together. So you can do the Sullivan's kit that Karen Kluba put together when she did, it's what she used for the model and how she spec'd it using Sullivan's threads. And then Jennifer is going to do hers with DMC on Russian Tea Cake 37 count.
Yeah.
You're going to like
that. I'm
excited
for that. I've heard everybody's like, oh, Russian Tea Cake. Yep. Oh, so.
You're going to like that one. Yep.
Yeah. So that's exciting.
Yep. And then Beth is going to use the 100/3 thread on Florence 45 count. And I'm doing Soie d'Alger and NPI silks on Newcastle 40 count. So you can get any of those kits from Needle in a Haystack. All you just got to, there's a page. We set up a page, or Kathy set up a, Kathy set up a page. So you just go to wetalkfiber.com/springhill and you'll find all the kits right there and you can just order them.
Yep. It links you right to it. I tried it last week.
Okay.
Yep. I typed it in and boom, instant link.
Yep.
Little drop down boxes to pick your kit. You can add the chart if you need the chart.
Yep.
And they make great Christmas gifts if you know someone who wants to do it. Because, like, so my mom already knows. This is not a spoiler for her. I asked her if she wanted to do it, and she said yes. So I said, why don't I get it for you for Christmas? And she said, okay. So I've ordered it from Kathy, and she's going to do the same kit as what I'm doing.
Okay. The DMC. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
With the Russian tea cake and stuff. So, mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's a great Christmas gift.
Yep.
You need a Christmas gift for someone.
Join us. It's going to be fun. Yep.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful, beautiful design. And it's the first in a series of four seasonal designs. So this is spring, and then the other three seasons are coming. One will be introduced in May. The next one, whichever season it is, in May at the Nashville market. So this is a chance to do this one, get it done, and then be able to do the next one in the series in May when it comes out.
Right.
So join us for that. We'll have be a live show on the first. Every holiday, it seems. We got to do a live show. But we'll do on January 1, 2 o'clock. Jennifer, Beth, and I will be doing a live show. You and I will have nothing going on again, and Beth will have to tear herself away from the family.
Uh-huh. Well, it is my birthday. So.
Well, there we go. See, now it becomes a thing. Like, yes. Yeah, a thing.
Absolutely. So.
Yep. So,
but, you know, we do all the partying the night before.
Oh, is that how it works? And then.
We celebrate at midnight.
Yeah.
And that's when I do the cake and open the presents and all that stuff. So. Yeah.
And then hang out all day the next day. All right.
Yeah. Well, because traditionally when I was younger, that's when I was up and active.
Mm.
And then you were partying, and then the next day you're out. You know, so you might as well do it all while you're awake, dressed up.
Yep.
Having a good time, because the next day you don't know what condition you're going to be in.
Yeah, yeah.
So, not anymore. That's not me anymore. That.
Oh, no, yeah, no, you've matured.
Long ago days.
You've matured way beyond that, yes.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I've just gotten old. Just out of practice.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So we'll have a birthday and we'll kick off Needle in a Haystack Stitch Along. So help us all. Connect with Needle in a Haystack and get your kit and join us for it's going to be fun. It's going to be a really good one.
Yep. I think, now I know you guys don't like setting goals, but I think to try to keep it going, we should set a little small goal. Like, 2 hours a week.
Now that's doable.
Yeah, because I know you're really busy and you might want to work on other things too.
Two hours a week. All right.
2 hours a week. I mean, that's like half an hour a day for 4 days, or you could get it all in one day and then the rest of the week you can do whatever you want.
That's a good one. Okay.
You know, just to kind of keep it fresh. And not let it fall to the wayside and get forgotten about.
That's a good one. All right, that's a good. I can make that happen. Two hours a week.
And it's not that complicated of a chart, really. When you look at it, there's a lot of straight lines and blocks of color.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, you can do a lot of outlining and then just fill in.
Yep. Yeah, yeah, that. Yeah, and that goes fast.
Yeah. So.
Okay, that's good.
I'm thinking we can get this done by market.
Well, that's the target. Yeah, I think that's a good target.
Because market's in May, right? Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah, that's 5 months.
Yep. I think that's a good target. 2 hours a week. Yeah. Okay, all right. I'm in for that. All right.
Yeah, it's not overwhelming, especially if you're really busy and, you know, I mean, for me, that's easy. But, you know, if I have, like, some sort of a little commitment, it'll help me remember. Mm-hmm. Okay,
Yep.
2 hours.
Got to get it in. All right.
And then we got to post. We got to post our 2 hours.
Right.
Like, okay, maybe once a week we'll be like, okay, I stitched on these days, and here's my 2 hours progress.
Yep. Oh, and I already set up a hashtag. Hashtag is FT Spring Hill.
Yeah, sounds good.
So, okay. All right. That's nice. There's our plan right there. And somebody asked about if there were any specialty stitches. There are Algerian eye stitches in the border at the top, which does not go all the way around the piece.
Mm-hmm.
And is it, I don't know, maybe 15 of them is all.
Yeah.
So it's, and the rest are all cross stitch. So it's really nothing. And it's in the design, you could easily just do some X's to cover that same space and it would work just fine. So, yeah, it's not that many Algerian eyes. It's not like you're doing an alphabet in Algerian eyes, which is torture.
Yeah. I've done obviously Algerian eyelets, but I've not done like an whole alphabet or anything in them yet.
Man.
I'm sure I'll get there.
Seems like one letter in that is just like, oh.
Yeah, because that's a lot of stitches, just one.
Yeah. So specialty stitches, no. It's other than that, it's just cross stitches and like Jennifer said, there's down on the bottom where the hill is, it's all just fill in, you know. Just stitch an outline and just fill it in, mindless stitching. So
Yeah, if you really look at it, it's not a super complicated.
No,
there's a lot of the straight lines. You just have to count.
Yep,
and we can all count.
Most days, yeah.
Most of the time.
So don't
drink too much wine and you'll be fine.
So wetalkfiber.com/springhill gets you to the page at Needle and Haystack with all the kits. So you can order your kit. And Kathy was, she has everything but the charts. And I think by the time you hear this, she will have the charts. So she'll be shipping out to be able to ship right away. There was one Soie d'Alger thread color where she had a supply, but she was concerned that she was going to run out. But she's working on getting more. And then if not, there's a Splendor that is a Splendor silk that is fills right in for it. So it's not going to be a situation where you can't get the threads in the kit. She has them. She has them all. And a good supply of everything. So you should be okay on that. So you should be able to order and have it by the 1st of January and be able to start with us without any problem at all.
Right.
I say that, but then get on it because we know that shipping is slow just in general. So don't dawdle. Yeah.
Exactly. Yep.
So I think it's going to be fun. Yeah.
So then somebody had told me on Instagram that they had already started the Spring Hill.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, that's okay. Just join us for the stitch along anyway.
Right.
It doesn't matter if you've already started.
No.
Join in.
That's right. Yep. Lead the way.
Yeah.
Lead the way. Yeah. Yeah.
So
I'm excited. I like this format where each of us is doing a different set of threads.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's going to be fun to see the differences in how it looks and so on and so forth.
Right.
Yeah.
And different fabrics too.
Right. Yeah. Yep. And what somebody said, now I haven't done the math, but somebody said that the DMC that you could easily do on 18 count Aida, and you would basically come out about the same size as the DMC, the kit that you're doing.
Yeah, because I mean, 18 count is 36.
Right.
So in 37, I mean, what's a stitch?
Right.
I mean, over a bit, that is a bit, but yeah, it's basically the same.
Right. And Kathy can help you with Aida. If you want to do it in Aida, Kathy can help you find something. Basically all of our ground cloths are just kind of a cream off white, variations on the theme. So,
right. Yeah.
Yep. All right. That's coming up. So wetalkfiber.com/springhill gets you to the page, get your kit ordered, join us. Hope to have a good number of people join us for this. It'll be a lot of fun.
Pawn away. For sure.
Yeah. Speaking of goals, I am I have found myself on a mission with Hannah Longstreth.
Yeah, you're making good progress.
I am pounding away on it. Now, I didn't do anything last night, but
I had a break once in a while.
Beth and I recorded a show, so
oh, okay.
And the time that was over, it's like forget it. But yeah, I'm on a mission. I think I have a shot at having Hannah Longstreth done by the end of the year. I think I have a shot.
Oh, nice.
Yep. Because I'm the last motif in the second row, which is a monster. Oh, jeez, it will not end. It will not end. but then that's two full rows of motifs. And then the next thing is a couple of little smaller ones, and then Hannah's name. And then there's one row of four or five motifs on the bottom, and they are not not really monsters. I mean, every one of them takes time. But I think if I pound away at this thing, that would be pretty cool. I would like to have that done. Yep.
So you're trying to do your half an hour a day goal kind of thing?
No, I'm trying to do as much as I can get in.
Just as much as? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I did Sunday. I bet I stitched almost 8 hours.
Wow.
My eyes were just going, yow.
Yeah. By the end, I know. By the end, you're just like, oh, my gosh, I have to stop.
Yeah, and that's what I did. I had to stop. I wanted that motif done before I went to bed Sunday night, but it was just, you know, just not going to happen. So,
yeah, and then you don't want to make a mistake.
Right.
Because I've done that where I've pushed through, and then the next day you're like, oh, look at what I did. Yeah. I have to take it out.
Right, yeah, so you gain nothing, right. So
exactly.
So, so I'm hoping we can do that. That would be really cool to end the year with a large sampler finish. That would be cool.
And when did you started that this year, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I forget when we did. But, yeah.
It was, did you guys see it at Market? You started right after?
Yeah, I want to say it was June or July. I'm not sure.
May even or April? Because
no, I'm not sure.
Didn't you see it at Market and you guys were like, oh my gosh, that
was
amazing.
Yeah, and that was
because
we did it because that's the one that if you buy the kit, and you can still get the kits from Sassy Jacks. Kim still has you can get a kit from Sassy Jacks. The profits from it, Barbara Hudson, who did the reproduction, goes to her great niece.
Right, for medical school.
Right, yeah. So, yeah, you can still get the kit. I really like it because it's
so you'll have gotten one done in a year, in less than a year.
Think about that.
Yeah, in like 6 months even maybe.
Yeah, me who never finishes anything. Yes.
Exactly.
Thank you very much.
Well, you know.
I got to actually finish it though, so.
I think you will. You're really devoted to it, so.
Yeah, I got effectively 2 weeks. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think so.
I think so.
2 weeks.
If I can get the time. Yeah. But this motif. Oh, man. I knew it when I looked at it. I thought, oh, this is going to take forever. And,
no.
Yeah. Because, I worked on it all part of Saturday and all of Sunday. And I'm not the fastest stitcher on the planet. Most of the day Sunday. And still, there's like a quarter of it to go. And, I did screw up one section. I had to tear it all out, you know. I really would be done if I hadn't done that. But it was off by one, and it's such a symmetrical piece that you can't cheat it. So, out it came, you know. Ugh.
Yes. Yep. Taking stuff out is frustrating.
Yes, it is. Yeah. Yeah, I've gotten to the point. I used to try and pick it out. And the last couple of times I've had to tear stuff out, I just get the seam ripper out and just destroy it. Forget it.
That's what I do. I don't try to, unless it's usually if it's like one or two stitches, you just take it out. That's no big deal. But if you really have to take something out, you get out the seam ripper and you just pluck it very carefully.
Yep.
Then pull them out.
Get it out.
Get it over with.
Tweezer it out. Yep. Clean off the fuzz. Yeah. Move on. Another length of thread in the trash. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yep, I'm on a mission. I'm on a mission.
Nice.
We'll see. We'll see. Ooh, if I can't get it done if I can't get it done by the first, I'm going to be bummed out. But I'd like to have it done so I can take it off the scroll rods so I can put Spring Hill on it.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the plan. Mm-hmm.
Very good.
We'll see. So, all right. So now I wanted to talk about, you finished, giving you a hard time, but because time was running out, but you finished the wedding thing.
And
that thing is beautiful. It really worked up nice.
Why, thank you. Yep. My Swan Wedding Sampler by Doreen Jones. And you can get it on her Etsy. She's on Etsy, Doreen Jones Cross Stitch. And she's in England, I believe. So,
You did it on Lugana?
Yeah, 25 count Victorian Red Lugana. And I did it 1/1 with the Soie d'Alger silks.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And it came out really pretty, but man, that Soie d'Alger is fussy. It kept slipping out of the needle. And so then I was using Bowen 28 needles, and it was really messing up the end, like fuzzing it real bad.
Oh, Bowen 28s, duh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I did go buy some peacemakers because y'all had talked about peacemakers.
Mm-hmm.
And I went and got some of those. What a difference.
Yep.
Huge difference.
Yep.
So that made it much better. And I did that early on. I switched them out. I was like, all right, this needle, and they're talking about these other ones, so I'm switching it out. And so it came out really well. I like the coverage. But the only thing that I didn't like is the back stitching with Soie d'Alger on that tiny of a count. I think that the thread is too fat for that.
Oh, uh-huh.
And like the silk isn't spun tight enough.
Hmm.
So when you do the back stitching, you'll catch it on an untwisted part, and mm-hmm. it'll flatten and fatten.
Oh, so you get an inconsistent line then.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hmm.
And that's kind of annoying, but yeah. I did the best I could. I worked with it. I was like, it is what it is. I don't care.
Well, and still the viewing distance, it probably doesn't show
exactly.
up near as much. Yeah.
When you're doing it under magnification, you're like, oh my gosh, look how horrible it is. Yeah. But then when you back it up, it's like, bah,
it's fine. Yeah. Yep. So, all right. A couple questions. Number one. Yeah. You were gnashing your teeth the other day about Soie d'Alger. And mm-hmm. some people are fine with it. Some, you know, a few people love it, and you can find a whole bunch of people who hate it.
Yeah,
because it does fray. Fairly
it's a
short
monster.
Lengths. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like maybe 8 inches. Like short. I mean, I usually stitch with long lengths of thread.
Yeah.
And in order to use and not to waste a ton, you can do longer, but you're going to throw more away. So I just do shorter. And so you don't have to throw as much away. And when you're doing 1/1, 8 inches is that's a lot of thread.
Yeah.
It's like a long length for 1/1.
Yeah, that's when you said 8 inches, I thought, oh man, that's really short. But then you factor in the 1/1 and that is a long piece mm-hmm. of thread. Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So you've got to think about that, you know.
Yep. Yep.
But
if you did it again, would you do 1/1 or did you do 1/1 to get the size you wanted?
Yeah, I wanted that size.
Okay.
I didn't want it to be really big. So I played with the math and figured out I wanted to do an even weave so it came out nice.
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes linen, you know, you have the thick threads and the thin threads. And I like that look. It's just for this piece, I wanted it to come out exactly perfect.
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't want it to be wonky or lopsided. Other stuff, I don't care. But this one, I cared.
Yep.
So I wanted to do an even weave and 25 count. That's a, you know, for 1/1, it's kind of, it's big.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like on my Jennifer Gilbert, they have that 1/1 in the verse, and that whole thing uses Soie d'Alger, and that's on 40 count, and that's working out just fine. But then when I got to the 1/1 on 40 count with that thread, it was a mess. It looked terrible. It was lumpy and uneven. And I was like, and fuzzy, the fuzz really popped.
Uh-huh.
You're doing such a tight, it really makes the fuzz pop.
Yeah.
So I was like, no, this isn't. So I just did it in DMC.
Oh, okay.
And it was just black, 310. So I just used one strand of 310, and you can't even tell.
Uh-huh. So, works. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I, yeah, I had to substitute it out. Cause, and, you know, I didn't have any other kinds of, that's the first time I've, well, I've used silk in my butterfly lace mandala too. But this is like the first year I've ever stitched with silk.
Hmm.
So it's new for me. So I don't know a lot about it.
Yeah.
And I didn't, I mean, I knew of some of the other kinds, but I knew that that 103 was really thin. And I was like, I want good coverage. So that's why I did the other one, because it was thicker.
Mm-hmm.
But I think I'm right on the borderline of you go any smaller and it's just not going to work.
Oh, okay.
You know, like 28 count. I don't think I would not use one over that's on 28 count over one.
Yeah.
No way. It's just, forget it. So.
Yep. Well, your wedding sampler is beautiful. 20 years commemorated. That's great.
I know.
Yep.
20 years. It just, it seems like, it's like, wow, that's a long time. But then it seems like it's not been that long.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
If 20 years seemed like an eternity, that's generally not a good sign. Yeah.
No.
If you think about
sometimes
it.
Sometimes it's like a blink. It's like, gosh, have we known each other? I mean, I met him when I was 25 and he was 28.
Mm.
It's like, oh my gosh. Going to be 48. A long time.
Yep.
It's like almost half my life.
If it's flying by, though, it's a good thing.
Well, yeah.
It's fine. Yep.
It's been fun. It's not dragging or, you know.
Right.
I'm not suffering. So.
Good. Glad to hear that. Glad to hear that. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Been okay. Good.
So that's getting mounted in an oval frame and
mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah, it'll fit in an 8x10 oval frame. So I'll just go to the Hobby Lobby and find a frame, and I think I'll probably cut out a piece of foam board or whatever, or you know, the
foam core.
Yeah. I'll get the oval from the frame, draw around it, cut it out, and then I'll probably do that lacing thing, you know, where you do a running stitch and then just pull it.
Oh, kind of
like you would do with a circle.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'll do that.
Wrap, yeah.
Mm-hmm. To make it wrap nicely.
Yep.
So yeah. And there will be glass on it because all the silk and stuff, and we live in a humid climate mm-hmm. and humidity makes everything sticky.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want anything sticking to this fussy silk.
Well, it's a beautiful piece and done early, because what, your anniversary is the 23rd, right?
Mm-hmm.
Look at you.
Yep, so I'll have it framed and finished.
Almost like you had it planned, yep.
I did. I worked hard. I know you guys were like, yeah, it's almost done, yeah. Famous last words.
Yep, well, I had my doubts. I had my doubts, yeah.
No, so, the hard part I had. All I had with those leaves on the side and then just the name. And like, so the date is all backstitched.
Oh, okay.
And I had to take it out once because I had thought I counted over the right amount and it wasn't going to be centered. Because it's over one, I had to tweak the numbers a little bit because she does it over two.
Uh-huh.
And in some of the places you can see where she's used that extra stitch and split it, you know?
Oh, uh-huh.
Like split the square.
Yeah.
And since I'm doing it over one, that's...
Can't do really, that.
Exactly. So I did have to tweak a couple things. And so it made my numbers off center. So I had to rip them out, start again.
Yeah. Well, you got it done and done in plenty of time. You weren't sitting there on the 22nd screaming at it. So that's good.
No. Yep. I got it done. Yes.
Now, and you just bought a new magnifier. And when you mentioned about, when you mentioned about the back stitching and we wasn't consistent, and it's an interesting thing because using a large magnifier, I mean, I use one all the time because I mm-hmm. think it makes the stitching better. I think mm-hmm. you stitch better because you can see more of what's going on there than if you're not using a magnifier, but it does have that drawback. Is that you see things like the thread's thicker on this stitch than it is on the next one. Uh-huh. You see that. And so you always have to keep in mind that, that this is under like massive magnification and
yeah.
a normal person won't see it. So, and you got a magnifier I've not seen. What is that one?
It's the Brightech. It's the one that Vana got.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I didn't recognize it in your picture. Oh.
Oh, okay. I've had it on, she talked about it, so I looked it up on Amazon, and I've had that window open on Amazon in my, phone for like 8 months.
Oh, geez.
And then I finally was like, you know what? If I'm going to start doing all this over 40, I want to get back to that over 40. Well, I've got the Jennifer Gilbert that's on 40. And then I've got the Modern Folk Embroidery 2019 stitch along that's on 40
mm-hmm.
over 2. And then we're doing this Spring Hill, which is on 37 over 2. I'm like, if I'm going to be doing all this, I need a better magnifier than these little ones that I have.
Yeah.
Because they're just not working.
Yeah.
And like that clamp on one, the clamp on one's okay, but it's 3 inches. You can't see anything.
Right.
There's nowhere to clamp it anymore. It's just, yeah. So I got that, and it's, wow. It's got this huge screen where you can see a ton, and it really magnifies it big. And because it's square, you don't have that weird, on those oval ones where you get toward the edges, it slopes.
Right, yeah.
And it makes that weirdness.
Yep.
There's no weirdness on the edges.
Yeah. Yeah, see, mine is a circular one, and I know what you mean about on the edges there. It gets wonky. Yes.
Yeah, so there's no edgy wonky. So. Which is nice.
Yeah, you sent the picture, and I just didn't recognize it. So you're really happy with it then, huh?
Yeah, and then also, all of my other ones, they do have a teeny-weeny little LED, that really doesn't light up anything.
Yeah.
So I've always had my light, my like bright light is over my shoulder behind me.
Yeah.
And that works fine when I'm doing just other stitching that I don't have to use the magnifier. But then when you have to try to use the magnifier, that light reflects off the magnifier, off the lens, yep. and reflects back into your eyes. And then you have to move it. You're trying to get, but you need the light because the little dinky light on the little magnifier doesn't work.
Right.
So now that problem is gone.
Yeah.
It's got the lights right around the lens. Just, it's perfect.
That's difference making to me.
The
magnifier is nice, but having that even, really bright light right where you need it.
Yeah.
There's no glare. There's no flare. There's nothing. It's just,
And there's nothing getting in the way.
Yep.
Yeah. That is huge because that's been another problem that I've been dealing with. And you have to move your head around and you have to move the magnifier. And I'm just tired of fussing.
Yeah. Well, that's just it. You can get too many moving parts. Uh-huh. And by the time you get them all adjusted, it's like, oh, just never mind.
Yeah. And then your dog wants you to get up and cover her with the blankie. And you're like, I just got settled.
Right. Yeah, you get your cockpit all adjusted, and then you have to get up. It's like, oh, give me a break.
I know.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But it does have to live in my sewing room with my other chair.
Okay.
Because I did have it here in my main room, and it's just too much stuff. And then also I had it coming over on my right side, and I'm right-handed. And when I stitch, when I stitch two-handed, my right hand's on top and my left hand's on the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
So when I pull my top thread, my right hand, it keeps hitting the magnifier and the bar and stuff, right?
Yep.
That's a problem. So I took it in the other room where there's more room for it. So it's not, and I have it coming over from the left side. It's perfect because my right hand can work the way it needs to work. The left hand goes under.
Yeah.
So it's not hitting it. Yeah.
Perfect. Okay.
And the chair is a little smaller, so it reaches over better.
Oh, okay.
The neck reaches over better.
So it's a better cockpit then.
Uh-huh. Yes. So, and it's good to change where you sit in the house sometimes. You know?
Now, see, I have mine in front of.
Right.
See, I have it in front and then arcing over toward me.
Yeah, I thought about that too. And it might get maneuvered a little in the other room. We'll have to see.
Yeah.
There might be some maneuvering happening if I need to.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, see, mine is I thought mine is not a Brightech. I don't really know. There's no brand name on it. And
Okay.
the gooseneck thing works, but where the gooseneck connects to
The pole
the
part.
pole, yeah, the pole,
Yeah.
it's getting sloppy. It's getting loose and
Ah.
sloppy. And quite frankly, I'm hoping one time I'll bend that thing down so I can go to work and it'll just snap off. Then I'll have a reason to go get another one.
That's funny.
It's like
Oh
break, please.
no. Yeah, this one was like $90. It wasn't even that expensive.
Yeah.
And you know, I have Amazon Prime, so
Right.
free shipping.
Yep. Well, it's a nice one. Yeah. And
Yeah.
yeah, I think it's a game changer. Having a magnifier
Definitely.
with lights on a stand that stays where you put it. And I
And
think
it
it makes it so much easier.
Yeah, and it magnifies big. I got the 3 diopter
Oh, yeah, I
one.
was going to ask you. So
So
three. Okay.
not the 5. The 5 was too much and Vana said it made her feel sick and stuff.
Yeah.
So I just got the 3. It's huge. It's like the biggest magnification I have. And it's like, wow.
All right, so
It's
yeah,
gonna.
I meant to ask you about that. So at three, it's a lot of magnification, but it's not distorting and it's not weird to your eyes.
Right, yeah.
Okay.
It's gonna make that 40 count look like 14.
Yeah. And
Like Ada, you know?
you wear your glasses when you do
I
that?
do.
Okay,
I wear
so all
my.
right.
Because, you know, I have to. For the readers, you still have to be able to see up close. I still have to wear the readers. I wear 2s.
Yeah.
So
Okay.
I wear 2s for normal range. If I'm doing really up close work, I put on 3s. If I'm doing something further away, like if I'm in my sewing room and I'm ironing or cutting fabric and it's arm length away, I wear 1s. I have different sizes of glasses and different strengths all over the place. It's crazy.
I have one word for you. Bifocals.
No. No,
Yeah.
because then you have to move your head weird,
No, you
you
don't. No,
know?
you adjust and you don't even think about it. No.
No.
Yeah. Yeah. My
No. I got LASIK, so I don't have to
my
wear.
sister does that reader glass exchange and 500 of them in the house, so she yeah, and I just look at her every time she's searching for them and I just go, "Nancy, bifocals." You know. Just deal with
I know where they all are. I know
it.
which ones are
Okay.
where. It's not a
Okay.
problem.
All
I
right.
don't want to have the glasses sitting on my face all the time. That's why I
Okay.
got the LASIK. I don't look good in glasses.
Okay. All right.
And bonus, I got rid of my migraines. Yay.
Yeah, well, that's a lot to be said for that. Yep.
It's been a year. It's been a year. It's amazing.
Yeah. Well, I'm hoping
So.
mine breaks. I'm hoping my magnifier breaks really soon. 'Cause it
That's
I,
so funny.
last night it was, or night before, it was pretty sloppy. I thought, "Man, that thing is,
Oh
you
man.
know." And then I
Just
thought,
give it a good
"Oh,
yank.
yeah, I know. I'm tempted."
Oops, sorry, honey, I broke
'Cause
my life.
it
It's
works. So,
so
it works, so I can't fault it, but I really do hope it
old.
breaks soon. Yeah.
Oh my God, my husband would be like, "Would you just get rid of it and buy a new one already?" He'd
Yeah,
just be like,
I need
just
it.
do
I
it.
need mine to break. I
Oh,
will. I'll
that's
start
funny.
pulling harder on it. That's a good idea.
Yeah, just yank
Yeah.
it. Give it a good yank.
So, all right. So that Brightech then that's well built all the way around. You're happy with the
Yeah.
construction and everything.
Well, I've had it for like less than a week, but yeah, it's good.
Yeah, but I mean, is the base heavy on it?
Oh yeah, definitely.
Okay, so
Thing
nice
weighs a
weight.
ton.
Okay, good.
Oh yeah.
All right.
Definitely. Big old heavy base and
Yeah.
yeah.
All
Yeah, I
right.
really like it so far. I've done just a little bit of stitching with it, but it was good.
Well, that's something you know right out of the gate whether it's going to work.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Oh yeah.
I don't think there's any break-in period. It either was going to work or not. Yeah.
Yeah, 'cause I've brought home other like those neck magnets, you know, and I do use, I have like 3 different of those hanging around your neck
Oh, those
magnifiers
things. Oh,
and
those drive you nuts.
Well, I my little Ottlight one works the best.
Yeah.
And I use that, like, when I stitch those little 1/1 flowers, I don't put that in a hoop or anything because it's just, they're tiny. I mean, it's like, I do put them, they're in the little hoop that's like 2 inches by 4 inches.
Uh-huh.
And the whole thing. So I just hold that hoop in my hand and stitch, and I use that little magnifier, and it works just fine. And that's what I was using to stitch the wedding sampler too.
Mm-hmm.
Is I'd put the wedding sampler on my fanny stand hoop thingy, and then it was all just the right, but you still have to adjust the light and then tilt the magnifier, but I made it work.
Yeah.
And I do like it, and I will still use it for smaller projects, but for these big ones where, you know, I have them on the scroll rods and stuff. It doesn't work so well with the scroll rods.
Right. Yeah. I have one of those string hoop, stringy things that mm-hmm. rest on your chest. And that's the way I did it for a long time. And mm-hmm. it was, I just got so tired of constantly adjusting it.
Yeah.
It just, you know, and so now, I mean, I keep it because mm-hmm. it's a nice hand magnifier, and it has a nice, almost a 1-inch, like 3x, 4x magnifier little piece and set in it. So that comes in handy.
Right.
So I keep it, but I don't use it to stitch anymore because it just, I just felt like it was never quite where I wanted it.
I know.
Yeah.
It's hard to get them just, this one I finally got the knack and I can get it just right. But the other ones that I have, they just never, or the lens bent too weird. And then like my little Ottlight one doesn't have a rim. And the ones that have the rim around, mm-hmm. that just, I don't know why that bothers me. Like with my glasses, like my reading glasses too, I have these where they have no rim. It's just all lens.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because having that rim blocking my vision bugs me. Which is why I like this Brightech thing. It's got this huge screen. It's almost like an iPad screen size.
I may have to go downstairs and stomp on my magnifier.
Go give it a good kick.
Oh, darn it. It broke. How did that happen?
Oh, man. Did I accidentally knock that over? Oops.
Amazon, help me out.
Exactly.
Yeah, I might have to do that.
How did that baseball bat end up there?
Oh, yeah. No. Well, I have a feeling if I just tripped over it right, it would snap off.
Yeah,
I have
there you a go. Feeling, yeah. Don't hurt yourself in the process.
I know. Yeah, that'd be the next thing. Yeah. Yeah, I'll be in a cast, but the thing will be broken and I'll have a new one. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
So okay. So you're winning all the way around. Yay for you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's great.
Yep. And then I have stretcher bars for my Spring Hill. And then, so then I'm getting ready to start one of those Teresa Wentzler little mini samplers.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted that on stretcher bars. So I have these one stretcher bars that I had bought because I liked how the end had the end knobs instead of having it go in that, instead of having the side thing squeeze the roller, it has the end knobs.
Yep.
So what is this brand? Let me look. And I bought them Arabesca or something.
Arabesca.
But it's got these weird, it's got these weird clampy things. And they go into a ridge on the pole and you're supposed to clamp the linen down. But I've tried it and it's uneven and the clampies are only like 4 inches long, 3 inches long. Mm-hmm. So it's hard to get the linen on there well and straight, and it wiggles it. It's just, so what I did is I went down and got my staple gun and I staple gunned on a piece of the twill tape like I did for those other ones I made.
Oh, okay.
But this time all I had to do was staple on the twill tape. The rest of it was already done. And so then I was able to sew my linen on and I'm ready to go.
And then you get a nice even.
Yeah. So I just took ones that I had that I didn't like how they worked and I just modified them and made them how I want.
Yep.
Which is what I like to do.
Now, see, I hate that twill tape.
You don't like it?
No, because I always feel like I never get even attachment across the piece. Now, do you use a sewing machine or do you just baste it on?
I do it by hand, and on the twill tape, you can see there are lines.
Yes.
Because the way it's woven, and what you have to do is you make sure your linen's even. And what I did on this one is I took and basted a line of thread through the edge of the linen to make sure it's perfect. And then I lined that edge up with the edge of the twill tape and then sewed it on. It's fiddly and it's tricky, but you can get it done. And I did it, and it's even.
Okay, so back up the truck. So you, all right, so you, you well, but see, this is, you know, helpful well, to people because a lot of people use the twill tape. So you basted a line in the linen so that you would have a reference point.
A perfectly straight line, because you know those linen lines, it's hard to follow.
Right.
And you think you're following a straight line, and then you end up being two or three off because it plays tricks with your eyes.
Right. So you do that, and then that lines up with the edge of the twill tape?
Yeah, I lined it up so that I could, it was like maybe a half inch from the edge of the linen, maybe a little bit less. And I lined up the very edge of the twill tape with that line so that the overlap is what I sewed on.
So that way you know the linen is square to the twill tape.
Right.
Okay.
That's how I did it. And I, you know, I pinned it a couple places, but you just have to go slow. And also on the bars, on the twill tape, I found the exact center. And I marked it with one of those Pigma pens.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the pens for writing on fabric. I marked the exact center. And then I had already put in my X and Y center lines for my linen. So I matched up the exact center of my linen with the exact center of the scroll bars and pinned it so that it, on each end, so I knew it was centered up so it's not wonky one way or the other.
Okay, so there, see, there's a couple, that's a couple of little nice little tricks there. So that gives you the best opportunity to get that linen on square and even and centered, the whole bit. Okay.
Right. Yeah. And that way it's exactly centered on both ends because you marked it permanently.
Right.
So, yeah.
All right. And then talk to me. I don't use it, but I know a lot of people do. So it's helpful. And then so when you sew it on to the twill tape, what are you using for thread? Are you using a heavier thread, or what are you doing?
Just some scrap sewing thread.
Okay. Doubled up or single strand?
No, just single. And then, you know, I just do like quarter inch long or even smaller stitches, just a running stitch.
Okay.
And then at the beginning and end, you know, you tack it down really well because the beginning and end can flare.
Yeah.
So...
And then when you get it on and get it scrolled up, then you're getting good tension all the way across.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. And depending, like when you have to kind of lay it out and set it up so when you roll it, you know, I like it to roll so that the finished side, the front is in the well.
Yes.
So when you roll it, you get the back of the linen is rolling up.
Right.
And that's the part that you would touch. And depending on how you want it to roll, like on this one, I did it kind of two different ways. On one, the linen's on one side of the twill tape, so you kind of have to make sure you tuck it so it doesn't kind of crease.
Mm-hmm.
On the other one, I was like, what if I do it on the other side of the twill tape? So when it kind of rolls, it rolls under the twill tape. And so I don't have to worry about tucking. It's like a smooth. I should take a couple of pictures.
And yeah.
Try to send them.
Okay.
But yeah. And it, like I said, it's a little fiddly. You have to put on the sidebars. And then you have to have the sidebars on the table and have it hanging over the table a little so you can get your hand underneath.
Yeah.
Yeah. I did a video on how to do this.
Hmm.
When I set up the meditative stitching project.
Oh yes. I
sewed that on and I did a video on how I sewed it on.
Well, we should put that on the Fiber Talk thing.
Yeah. Or It's on my Jennifer in Stitches.
Oh, I'll just link to it then.
Yeah.
I'll just link to it in the in the description.
I changed the name of my, not that I do floss tubes, because I do this now and I'd rather do this than my own floss tubes, but I made a video and stuck it up there, how to sew on linen onto scroll bars.
Oh, well, then we'll just link to it, because I think it would help people.
Oh, okay. Yeah. And I mean, that's the first time I ever did it. And I just kind of figured it out as just I went along.
Figured out your own system.
I was like, I know this can be done because it's how it was done in the past. So.
Right. Yeah. It's not like it's a new thing. Yeah. It's been
exactly.
done forever by thousands of people. Yeah.
Right. So, and what I'm going to do is I haven't taken it off yet. I'm going to take that meditative piece off of that. And my butterfly lace mandala, I put that one on scroll bars using that Velcro method.
Yes.
Which I am not exactly happy about that. I'm going to take that, and it's the same length. Like, it's, you know, same length. So I'm going to take that off of those and put it on and sew it on these other ones.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can't get excited about that Velcro method, because on the surface it sounds like a really great idea.
Yeah,
but I don't know.
You know, one thing that I saw was like when I turn it, this pokey part, even though you have it was touching the linen, and then you have that, I don't know. And I did put a piece of batting there to protect it, but I don't know. It's just bothering me.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
It's just like, I just don't know about that. So I'm gonna take it apart, and I'm gonna put it on. I'm gonna sew it on my ones that I made. So that it,
yeah, because when
it'll
like,
just make me feel better.
Velcro in general, if you need to get something lined up exactly with Velcro, it seems to me like it's just really hard to do.
It can be fussy. It's definitely got its purposes.
Yeah.
But,
oh yeah. Yeah.
But I don't know about for this.
Yeah. Because yeah, if you're just doing like a tab closure on a pair of gloves or something. You just need it to hold. Yeah, that you can do it. But if you need it lined up with no wrinkles or creases,
yeah,
it can get.
And it,
yeah,
I got it pretty well. It did pretty good, but still, it pulls different. I don't know.
Just didn't seem right, huh?
Yeah, and then it's all sticky on the edge of your lens. I don't know. Maybe I'm just imagining problems that really aren't there.
Yeah. Well, but that's, you know, that's the thing with a lot of this kind of stuff is if we got 20 people in a room and talked about attaching to scroll bars,
mm-hmm.
you know, there'd be like 17 different ways to do it.
Right.
And the three people who agreed would still do it in a different order. You know,
mm-hmm.
I mean, everybody has their way. And a lot of it is when you're all done and you start stitching, do you feel comfortable that it's lined up and set up the way you like it? And
right.
And it may be fine, but if you're not comfortable with it, then it's always in the back of your mind. I really wish this was this way.
And then when you go to roll it and rotate it and stuff, it's bugging. And then also it's on one of those ones where the sidebar is what clamps, and you just can't get those tight enough and they keep moving. Oh, I just do not like those.
Yeah. Yeah.
At all.
Yeah. You can't get those tight. Yep. They just won't. Stay.
Oh, yeah. They're the worst.
Yep.
The worst. So yeah, those are out.
that would be a fun gathering. 30 people in a room.
Oh my gosh.
30 people in a room. Bring your favorite way of mounting linen to do stitching. Oh man.
Oh boy. Jeez.
There would be 33 different ways to do it and only 30 people, I guarantee you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Or even more, for sure.
I use Q-snaps. I do it in the well. I hate being in the well. Oh. I do, yeah, all the things.
Okay,
yep.
So I bought Q-snaps, and I did try the Q-snaps. Cannot stand them.
Really? Now,
well,
did you buy the Q-snap brand, or did you buy an alternative?
It's not. I bought an alternative, but it's not the... It's what bugs me about it is that... When you get them in, the extra fabric is so messy. I cannot handle that extra fabric. You can't fold it up and roll it up, and it's bulky and messy and flopping all over. I do not like that. That bothers me. And then also, they rotate, you know?
Yeah.
And I don't like that.
But see, that's the regular Q-Snaps, if you buy the brand, they don't rotate. Mm-hmm.
Oh, really?
They stay where they're supposed to stay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I no, I'm and I think I would have good support on this to get the Q-Snap brand. They're tight.
Mm-hmm.
They're tight.
Well, but that's another thing I didn't like. I didn't like that friction, the rubbing, especially if you're putting it over something you've already stitched, the compression and the rubbing.
Well, that's where a piece of felt.
That bothered me.
That's where a piece of felt comes in.
Yeah, and I've done that. I did that with the other ones, and I did put the piece of felt. And still, it just, you have to find
like
pieces of felt, and you have to cut it. I didn't like anything about it.
See, there it is right there. See, I'm fine with Q-Snaps and putting a piece of felt on, but now I'll get the Q-Snaps big enough so that the entire design is within the thing. I don't even like it with hoops very much, though I do it. Having stitching in a, you know, bound in the hoop. I don't like that, but you can't avoid it. But Q-Snaps, yeah, I'll get them big enough so that the whole design fits in. And then, I mean, I think they're terrific. I don't use them very much, but when I do use them, I like them. And then what I like is when you're done to be able to turn them just a little bit and loosen up the fabric. You know, so you can put it away so you can take the tension off the fabric. I always put the felt in.
I did that. I did the felt. And I know that, you know, like with my pandemic, I'm doing it in a hoop. It is gigantic and I have to fold up the linen.
Yeah.
But it folds up neatly. It folds up flat. It's not all, the Q-Snaps just distort it all out of, no. Too much chaos for me.
So see, that's the thing. You know, that's the thing. You know, and then people who use Q-Snaps and move them around like hoops, then then you have that big chunk of fabric, and then there's 15,000 different ways of dealing with that fabric. You use those grime guards, or you use clips, or magnets are handy. You know, like needle minders are a handy little thing for that excess fabric. You know, all kinds of ways to do that too. And see, for me, if I'm going to do a Q-snap and I'm going to have a whole bunch of fabric hanging off the end, then I'll just put it on a scroll bar because that's
how I had started my butterfly lace mandala is like, oh, well, I'll try these Q-snaps. Man, that did not last long. I did not like that at all.
Yep.
No.
Yeah.
And I even tried using them for other projects. I just don't like them.
See?
It's they're not for me.
Yep. And that's the, you know, that's so entertaining to me because,
I totally thought I would. I was like, oh, that's a great idea. Look at that. It's fantastic. No.
Yep. Yep. And then I can find you five people right now who just say, why are you even messing with that? Just hold it in your hand and stitch and just move on. Yeah.
Oh, I stitch in hand. So I started out stitching with the hoop. But then I moved very quickly to stitching in hand because I didn't like the hoop marks and stuff.
Uh-huh.
And one time it did leave and it's not like I left these in a long time. It was just, you know, a crappy quality hoop and it left a little bit of a mark that I couldn't wash out. So I started stitching in hand and most of my Paula Vons are all stitched in hand.
Mm.
I mean, I stitched in hand for years and years until recently when I started doing on smaller counts. I started stitching in hand. I was like, I don't know, this isn't, and then everybody talked about how it opens up a hoop or whatever opens it up to make it easier. And so I did, and I'm like, oh yeah, you know.
Yeah.
So like I'll stitch some stitch things now, I'll still stitch in hand, but it's usually on bigger counts and smaller pieces.
Oh. I gotta have something holding it. Yeah. Everybody's got a different way. Everybody has a different way of doing it.
Oh yeah. And now that I can do two-handed stitching and I have the you know, the fanny stand or the other stand to hold stuff and I can stitch two-handed, that's my preferred.
Yeah. Yeah.
I like that the best.
Cuz that's efficient. Yeah. You can just go. Mm-hmm. Yep.
But then on some of the small things and stuff I do, I'll just stitch in hand or with a tiny hoop and just hold it.
Yeah. Well, yep, all different. Yep, everybody. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, depending on the project, I'll stitch differently and using a different thing, and just depends. But I won't use Q-snaps. I just don't like them.
Well, you're entitled. That's all right.
Oh man.
Okay.
I tried different sizes. Just
wouldn't work. All right. Well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Everybody has a different view. Yep.
I know. It's funny.
Yep. All right. We need to stop.
Oh, okay.
Don't know how this time went by, but it did. So we're going to stop.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
All right. So join us tonight when we open the Beth. I want to say when we open Beth's casket, but that doesn't come out right.
I know. The word casket.
Yeah.
Like, oh.
Yeah. That doesn't come out right. So when we view Beth's casket kit, it still doesn't come out right.
It's the word casket that's
yeah,
the problem.
Yeah. So anyway, join us for that tonight and get your order in. WeTalkFiber.com/Spring Hill will get you to Needle in a Haystack so you can order your Spring Hill kit and be ready to go when we start on the first. Sunday's guest. Oh, yes. Sunday's guest, Jane Ellen Balswhite. And we stole that. There's an article in the EGA, the new EGA magazine, on Jane Ellen.
Okay.
And, well, the story is Beth read the article and wrote to me and said, did you read the article? No. So I sat down and read the article and immediately wrote to her and asked her to do a show.
Because uh-huh.
There's a really nice article about her. And so then we got her and... we had a great conversation with her. So that Jane Ellen is on Sunday and a really great conversation, a lot of white work, but an interesting life of stitching right from when she was a girl, all the way through, even in college, she worked in a fabric store, taught sewing the whole bit. Yeah. She's fascinating. And,
okay.
Yeah. So great conversation with her. So that's Sunday. Yeah. That's all we got going on. Other than that,
nice.
You know, we're sitting around twiddling our thumbs. Yep.
Yeah. Nothing to do.
Nope. All right. Thanks for listening.
All right. Bye.